I'm telling you, to make it through Sunday school is a yee-haw.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody was excited and got here. A little bit concerned. We have reason to be. My prayer is that we all go home safe, COVID-free. And if I hear of anybody, please tell me if you get home and for some reason you get sick, let me know, because we are going to go back. Too many people, if anybody gets sick, we're going back to the way we were last week, which is two services. And we'll continue to try Sunday school as we can, but so far, so good. Anybody got any good news about your Sunday school?
Rhonda's great.
I already knew that.
It was such a blessing.
All right. I don't know who said that. Who said that? Good. You said that? Your voice changed. Anybody else?
I love everyone.
Good deal. If you've got a brand new high school freshman, they're in Richard's class, if you don't like the way they're starting to act, call Richard. He will rule them. He'll teach you. Anybody else? We're going to pray in just a second, but I want to share with you just a thought or two. A lot of prayer went into this morning, rearranging Sunday school classes and meeting with the preschool and the children's worship. And I want to brag on our children's worship leaders. They have a slew of children back there. I don't know how many, but they've kept them during Sunday school, and they're going to keep them during children's worship time. I'm reading a little bit. So that's 3 hours at least, 3.5 hours they're keeping our kids. And, you know, that's a praise. That's going the second mile. And they're doing their very best to keep them 6 feet apart. And that's hard with children to do that. But we have some that rule with an iron fist back there. And they're going to make those kids stay 6 feet apart. And they're going to feed them in certain ways that we didn't do before. It's all going to be different. And then we installed TVs for them because 3 hours, they can't teach them for 3 hours. So they'll be showing them some videos after the lessons are over, trying to keep them busy. I'm very grateful for our workers, all of you, but our workers back there are going the extra mile. So if you would, pat them on the back as you pick up your children. Be careful. You know, they're not going to let everybody go in the hallways. They're going to bring your children to you. So I'm very grateful for what God has done to get us to this point. Thank you, teachers, for putting up with the changes. There have been quite a few changes. We had to rearrange some classes, take some tables out, and we'll add some tables back as we can. But a lot of this had to do with safety. In fact, it all had to do with safety. So I just want to thank you, church, for being patient with us. And I hope that you enjoyed Sunday school. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Realize that we have two or three families in our church that are really hurting family-wise, marriage-wise. So pray for our marriages. Some are struggling financially. So if you would pray for that too. So let's pray together. Almighty Father, God, we love you. You're our God, our Lord, our Savior. You're so merciful, Lord, and so forgiving. Lord, you're the creator of all things, including us. Lord, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Father, that you put Hillcrest Baptist Church right here in this location. And Father, we know that we're a lighthouse to this community. And that's because we have the Word of God here. We preach the Word and teach the Word. And I praise you, Father, for that. We stay within the Bible's beliefs and teaching. And Father, we take a strong stand on the Bible. And God, we praise you for that, too. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, that he loved us enough to come to this earth and live with us and then to die on the cross for our sins. We know that he's the only way to heaven, and we pray, Lord, that today, if there's anybody sitting in here that has never invited Jesus into their life, today would be the day that they had Jesus speak to them and come into their life and forgive us of our sins. I do pray for our marriages, Lord. I pray for our families. These are tough times. I pray, Lord, that you would direction to our loved ones that are struggling within their marriage. Lord, draw them together through you. The love of God would be in their homes, and forgiveness would be in their homes, and patience would be in their homes. And I pray for the children. Lord, I pray for our children as they go to school. Father, some are doing it over the Zoom and virtually. We pray for them as well. Father, we pray for our country. Times were just a mess. We need, Father, to get on our knees and seek your face and return to you. We pray for our president, Lord, and his wife, and ask, Lord, that you would touch them with healing. We pray, Lord, that all those that have been affected this past week, Lord, that you would touch them. And Father, that through this we'd see good come, that we'd see all of us pay attention to the way we get around other people. Father, we lift this, all this mess up to you, knowing that you have the answer. Father, my prayer is that we just return to God in a strong way. God, we sure love you. We praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex and I are still ringing back here. We're going to be in Psalm 122, and again, this is one of those songs of ascent, A-S-C-N-E-N-T, as they ascended up to the mountain of Jerusalem to worship God. Psalm 122, the title is, How Do You Go to the House of the Lord? I wrote a second title, I just took it out of my Bible, The Joy of Going to the House of the Lord. So how do you come to the house of God? And joy in your heart as you come. So let's read Psalm 122. David starts out, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up and the tribes of the Lord to the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace within, be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So the joy of going to the house of the Lord. How do you come? House of God. I want to take you back to 2004. And that was after I got here. I had the privilege of going to Thailand for 9 days on a mission trip. It was right after that disastrous tsunami that hit Thailand. So when we get over there, it took a couple of days to travel to and from, but it was 9 actual days there. And it was a hard mission trip. The air flight was over 20 hours. One way it was 22 hours, the other way it was 23 hours. So we were tired when we got there, tired when we got home. It was hot. Most of the days it was 110, 115 degrees because it's right on the equator. And this old boy had never been in 115 degree weather. It made me sweat. And after 3 or 4 days, I got sun poisoning. That like drove me crazy. Be in bed for about 24 hours. I had to go to one of their pharmacies and get some medicine, and man, that was an experience because they had on this wall, it was about the biggest that wall right there, of frog legs, crickets, and dried, all sorts of things, but they used those natural things to heal you, and I was not about to take a frog leg. But they gave me some kind of cream, and I don't know what it was, but it worked. That was a praise. So the next day I went and did my digging. I had to move a pile of dirt. It was part of my job. And the food was tolerable at best. It was hot. I'm spicy hot. They used a lot of, I don't know what they made, put in it to make it hot, but I don't like real hot either. I had to eat it. And then they had chicken they fed us one day. Chicken, I'm not kidding, the chicken leg was that long. So what was that? It was not a chicken, I know it wasn't. They said fried chicken, but I know better. But it was okay, it was tolerable. Everything I ate was tolerable. There were some things I could not eat. I telling you all this because at times it was miserable. Now, the good things were the people were in great need and the people were great. So we had a great time of fellowshipping and sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't want to be too negative about it, but there was an awful lot of negative, a lot of heat, a lot of hot. So on the way back, after experiencing the airplane food, I got home, or at the airport, B&A Nashville. I saw Rhonda. Boy, my heart just about jumped out of my chest. Oh, I had never been away from her that long, and I just was glad to see my wife. And then, a Burger King.
Stop quick.
I'm telling you, when you eat that food over there and they serve you a hamburger, it's not a hamburger like you've ever tasted before. And when I saw that big Whopper sign, I said, Rhonda, I gotta have a Burger King, a Whopper. Best thing I think I've ever put in my mouth. I was so glad to see Rhonda. And I was really glad to see that Burger King. See you longer than I was at home. But I tell you this story for a reason. There was an emotional glad. I was happy to be home. I was glad to be home. And it wasn't just I'm saying I was glad. I was really glad. It was a huge emotional rush. And that's what David is saying as he goes into the house of the Lord. I was glad to go into the house of the Lord. So let me tell you what the definition in Hebrew is of the word glad. It means happy, joyful, joyous, pleased, cheerful, rejoicing. And then Webster adds delighted, grateful, satisfied, full of brightness and cheerfulness. So when David said, I was glad to go, when they said go into the house of the Lord, he was cheerful in his heart, he was joyous in his heart, he was experiencing an emotion every time he went to the house of the Lord like this, like I'm talking about seeing that Whopper. That's the way David was. He was so excited and content, and it was just flowing out. So that's what I want to talk to you about. How do we come to the house of the Lord? So let's start in verse 1 and read what David has to say. Chapter 122, verse 1. David simply writes, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And again, that word glad means more than just glad. He was joyous. He was full of joy. He was overwhelmed with this emotion that he wanted to be in God's house. And it was a long trip there. Realize that. And he did what he had to do to get to God's place of worship. Remember that the temple was David's dream. Solomon is the one that built the temple. But in David's time, they had the tabernacle, the tent, the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a portable earthly tent. It was a good size, but it was not like this. It was not a brick building. And they would go where the tent, the tabernacle was built, and they would worship. Glad to get there. Literally thousands and thousands of them would meet. But I want to go over to Psalm 84 and again show you what was on David's heart. So if you would, run over to Psalm 84 and look at verses 1 and 2 and then verse 4. So David's gone. He's ascended up to the mountainside to get to the house of worship, to get to the tabernacle, to get where the Ark of the Covenant is, which was an earthly place where God's presence was. And this is how David describes it in Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, talking to God. How lovely is God's tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Now, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And this is what's going on in his heart as he tells us in Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said, go to the house of the Lord. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. And then drop down to verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. So David is telling us in his heart, the joy is there for God. He's glad. It's an emotion. It's more than emotion. It's an overwhelming thing in his life that he wants to be in God's presence. Now, we have, I don't know how many, we have hundreds of thousands and thousands of worship places in the world. But they had one central location, that was in Jerusalem. This is where God said, you come up three times a year, at least three times a year, and worship me. But we have 3,000, 100,000, millions of places to worship. And ours are mostly buildings like this. And they had exciting worship because all of them felt this joy. We have these wonderful, beautiful buildings, and I'm asking you today, before you got here this morning, how did you come to the house of the Lord? Did you come with this joy? And I know some of you, I saw it, some of you are just ready to be here. And let me ask you this, as we were ready to be here this morning, I mean, it was exciting to be here. What if we hadn't had the COVID and we'd been coming to Sunday school all these months since March? Have we lost a little bit of the awe of coming to God's house? A little bit of the joy of coming to God? I'm talking about a lot of the joy of coming to God's house. And then when we get to church, sometimes you feel like you're forced to get here. Your parents make you get here. My question is, how did we come to the house of God this morning? I hope that we all have the joy, the emotional gladness. I'm so glad to go around to the, and I'm talking about the real glad, I'm talking about the joy in my heart. Stephanie, I looked in your class two or three different times. You wanted to be here. She texted me last night. You don't realize what that text did to me. Here was her text. I'm glad to be teaching in the morning. And I know that I'm preaching on glad last night. You know what that was at my house? That yahoo moment. Thank you for that text. It fit right in. And then I went to every single class and looked in. I think all of you wanted to be here, especially after getting settled down. We're glad to be in God's house. David says he was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. So how would you respond when you hear the call to go to church? And I want you to think along with me, because this was what I used to be like a long time ago. I think some of us are like this sometimes today. Your conversation would go like something like this on a Saturday night. One of the spouses would ask somebody, are we going to church in the morning? Anybody ever done that, by the way, besides me and Rhonda years ago? I asked her just about every Saturday, are you going to church this morning? Then it turned into, are we going to church this morning? And think about Monday through Friday, you're working hard all day long, and you get home, and sometimes it's not so pleasant at home. Sometimes you have work to do at home, so you work in the daytime, and you're also working at night. You know the things we do at home, chop trees, or work in the garden, or mow the yard, or do the dishes, or do house cleaning. So we've got a full week. And then Friday night comes, and some of us go out to eat on Friday nights, and we stay out later than normal, and we get home, we're tired because we worked all week, and we get there on Friday nights, we go out to eat, and then we get home, we're tired, more tired. And then Saturday, lo and behold, we get up and start really working, doing the stuff we do. And some of us go out and play golf, some of us, well, some of you guys go out and play golf. I don't. I would play, I'm not sure what I would play. I'd go fishing. If it requires work, I probably wouldn't do it. Not fun, I'm not going to do it. But we do play golf, we play ball, we garden, we do whatever we do. And then throughout the day, don't you get tired? Saturday, you've worked all day, worked all week. And then Saturday night, one of the spouses asked the other, are we going to church? And here's the conversation. I don't know. Yes, I guess. Here's the attitude here. I'm not going to feel good tomorrow. And I'm bored with that church anyways. I'm bored with that preacher. Or sometimes the preacher goes on vacation and I'm not going to be there. Has anybody ever said anything like that? Is that attitude, glad to go to the house of God? See, that's what David's talking about. He was glad to go to the house of the Lord. And we ought to be glad every time we can to come to the house of God.
Amen.
Come on now. Be with me here. This is God's presence right here. There ought to be nothing that takes our focus off of worshiping God. Nothing.
Amen.
But then we get to church, even if you had that conversation Saturday night, we get to church and sometimes it's just it's a hardship to come to church. Or sometimes you get to church and then we do things that take our focus off of God. We work at church, we do things that really has nothing to do with worship. We're guilty of that. Are we really glad to be in God's house? Do you respond like this when she asked you or he asked her? And I know we don't say this, but yes, I'm overjoyed to go to church Sunday morning. I'm so happy to go. Can you imagine saying that at 10 o'clock at night when somebody asks you that? Ronald died, I think. I mean, if I was that excited or about anything. I'm happy to go to church tomorrow. I'm looking forward to go to church tomorrow. That's what God is expecting our attitude to be. Here's the sad thing about going to God's house on Sundays. With many Christians, they don't go. Granted, I'll make the pews. Where are they? Probably at home. If you go survey Clarksville, you'll find out that about 17% go to church every Sunday. The rest of them do something else. 17% of Christians go to church. Are we glad to go to the house of God? Are you glad when somebody says, let's go to church? Well, let's keep going and see the picture of what's waiting for David as he gets to Jerusalem. Look at verses 2 through 5 with me, Psalm 122. Let's start in 2, read through 5. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. So it's finally arrived and he sees the tabernacle. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, for the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. So he's standing in the holy city, and you can almost feel the excitement with David as he finally gets to Jerusalem, and it's a small area. They're all gathered there, hundreds of thousands of them, so they're kind of crowded. And he starts looking at other people, and he sees the tabernacle there, and he's just ready to be in God's presence. All those tribes are there for one purpose, and that's to worship God. And they give thanks in front of everybody. They just start raising their hands. They start praising God. They remember they're going to celebrate the blessings that God has given them, whether it be the Passover, whether it be the first fruits or the last fruits, whatever God has blessed them with, they're thanking the Lord for that. They're just having a grand old time of worshiping God. But the Bible says there's also a throne or thrones there, and that's for judgment. That's where we come before God and we ask for forgiveness and we repent of our sins. And there's nothing bad about that. In fact, that's a very uplifting thing to come to Christ and confess your sins. God does something when you do that. He just lifts you up and encourages you. He knows that we're not going to be perfect. He knows that we're going to be sinning. But he also puts that throne there so that we can ask forgiveness. And when we do, boy, does he ever reward us. We'll go back over to Psalm 84. This ties into Psalm 122. Psalm 84, look at verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12. Listen to David's heart as he's right in Jerusalem. He's right seeing the tabernacle. He's with all those people. He's confessed his sins. He's thanking God. So Psalm 84, verse 10, 11, and 12. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Now, did you hear what he just said? One day in God's house is better than a thousand out there. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. In other words, those who come and worship him and confess to him, he's not going to withhold the blessings from us. He's going to continue to bless us. And then verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And just for fun, look at verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in God, whose heart is set on this pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca, or Baca, weeping. They make it a spring, and the rain also covers the pools. Baca or Baca is a place of weeping. But as they go through that, God pours out the blessings as they pour out their heart to God. I'd rather be in God's house one day than a thousand days in just the regular stuff of the world. And think about what's in this world that we, well, some of us worship stuff in the world, some of us just get tangled up in the world. I don't know what word I'm trying to give, but I know we can either serve God's kingdom or the world's kingdom. You can't have both. Blessed is the person that walks in uprightness and righteousness and holiness. Well, keep on going in Psalm 122. Look at verses 6 through 8. These are things that we could put on a list that we ought to be doing as David teaches. So Psalm 122, verses 6 through 8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I now say peace be within you. So I wrote down four things out of these verses that we ought to be praying for every single day. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But as you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of the United States of America. We need it. The question that comes to mind as we're praying for the United States of America is, has God withdrawn his hand from our country because of the sin in our world? And I believe you can make a case that says yes. But realize Jerusalem hasn't enjoyed peace in thousands of years. They've been walking, rejecting Jesus and walking in the worldly stuff. So pray, because this is important for Jesus to come back. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the United States as we're praying that. Verse 7, pray for the prosperity of our loved ones. Now, again, let me just think out loud with you. I don't want to call any names. Somebody look over there that you don't know and tell me how you're going to pray for their prosperity. Because you don't know. You don't know how to pray for them. Somebody over there doesn't know somebody over here. So how are you going to pray for their prosperity if you don't know them? If you've never asked them, how can I pray for you? Well, I have an answer to share with you that will help you to know how to pray for the prosperity of your brothers and sisters in here. It's called Wednesday night prayer meeting. Each Wednesday night, I stand right there and I take prayer requests from everybody, praises and prayer requests. And you always give me prayer requests. And we can pray for you if we come to prayer meeting. We know what you need, specifically what you need. And I write it down, and then I repeat it so that everybody can hear it. So as we pray for the prosperity of us, if you come on Wednesday nights, you will be told 15 to 25 prayer concerns for us. That would be a pretty good way of praying for the prosperity of us, of each other. We find out what's going on in our families on Wednesday nights. Sometimes somebody will share that my marriage is falling apart. We pray for the prosperity of that marriage. I can't tell you how many times we pray, Lord, they need a job. We pray. praying for their prosperity. Times, it's been a great prayer concern, and only God can handle it. We pray for those prayer concerns. Verse 8, well, in verse 7, also pray for peace within our walls. Well, let me tell you, you ought to be praying for the peace within Hillcrest Baptist Church. So many changes to have Sunday school this morning. And I've already gotten a call, several calls. Started out this building process seeking unity. And if it's going to destroy the church, we're not going to build. And that's going to cause lack of unity. So pray for the peace within our walls. Huge point. That's what David did when he got to Jerusalem. He knew with those hundreds of thousands of people, there's going to be some cantankerous stuff going on, some arguing going on, somebody got my place and I want to sit there, and you know how we are. He prayed for the peace within the walls of Jerusalem. But not only for the peace of the people, but he knew that Satan would come and start attacking them. Pray for the peace within our walls. It's not only the building that causes us some dissatisfaction. We're dealing with this COVID-19. Everybody has an opinion about this thing. We cannot please everybody.
Amen.
We're doing the best we can. I'm making decisions that if I had hair, I probably wouldn't have any hair now. It's been gut-wrenching to make some of these decisions. Pray for the peace within our walls. And then verse 8. Pray for the peace of yourself. Do you know what goes on in your life? Is there turmoil in your life? And good gracious. Every single one of us could raise our hand to that question. We've got turmoil on top of turmoil on top of turmoil. Pray for the peace within your family, within yourself. Way too many Christian families, experience the stuff of life. Pray for each other the peace of life from God. And keep on going to look at verse 9. Psalm 122, verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Not God's good, but your good. David sought the people's good. We seek to please each other. We become peacemakers with each other. We become whatever we, you know, Paul said, I'll be all things to all men. We become all things to all men. We put aside jeering and put on you. I'm so glad to read verse 9, because this is David. Because of the house of the Lord our God, because of the sanctuary, because of Hillcrest Baptist Church, because of all churches that belong to God, I will seek your good. And I try to seek your good. And I want you to try to seek other people's good. When we come to church, we ought to be coming to church seeking your good. You know what humility is? I set aside me. I empty of me and fill up with God and fill up with you. And you know, you come first. That's a pretty good attitude to come to church. Everybody else is first. What I think really doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's about me. So pray for within our walls and pray for us and pray for you and pray for the United States of America. Pray for Jerusalem. But most of all, just be praying for peace. They ascended the hill, and you know by the time they got there, they were dog tired, probably hungry as could be, sweaty, and you know, they didn't have hotels like we have. They didn't have showers like we had, so they were probably smelly too. They'd taken some animals so they could have some altar calls and sacrifices. This is written because they're so glad to be in the house of God. Let me read this and we'll close. More than ever before, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. With the full revelation of Scripture in front of us, we know that the peace will not come to Jerusalem until Jesus comes again and makes the city of David the capital of his righteous kingdom. God's plan for Israel will ultimately be fulfilled in the New Jerusalem, where he will dwell and be worshipped by the redeemed of all ages through eternity. David Williams, a commentator, wrote this: today Solomon's temple lies in ruins, buried under the Dome of the Rock, the great Muslim mosque which dominates the old city of Jerusalem. Today the Jews weep over their sins at the Wailing Wall, the last remaining remnant of the Second Temple. Today Jerusalem knows little peace as Christian sects haggle over the shrines there. The Arabs and Jews are at each other's throats. And when this age, talking about our age, the church age is complete, the New Jerusalem will be revealed in the restored center of the presence and worship of God. This city is the church made glorious by his unfailing presence in the perfection of the new creation. As we pray for the peace of Jerusalem today, we pray for the peace of God's church, and we pray for the prosperity which is to come when Jesus returns and establishes his reign on this planet. The redeemed will then stand before him with shining faces reflecting his very glory. So Jerusalem and the church will be combined and will worship God together. And the glory of God will shine through us. And we'll be glad to be in the presence of God. I'm talking about glad, joyous, joyful, content. Bright shining faces, bright shining hearts, overwhelmed with the love of Christ. Worshiping our Lord and Savior. Thank you, David, for Psalm 122. Let's pray. Almighty Father, Lord, we do love you and thank you, God, for the word. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today to have Sunday school together, to fellowship with each other, to the singing, Father. We heard each other sing and praise you for that. Thank you for the word. I pray, Lord, that we would hear Psalm 122 and Psalm 84 and apply both of them to our lives. Lord, help us to have attitude checks, heart checks. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us if we've taken worship for granted, if we've lost some of the awe in our worship. We don't expect the walls to shake as we come in here. I pray, Lord, that you would excite us about your presence, excite us about worshiping you, Father, that we would overcome the obstacles. idols that get in our way. Pray, Lord, that all of us have Jesus in our heart. God, if we don't, I pray today would be the day that they would say, forgive me, Jesus, for my sins. Come into my life. And God, that you would do that and we'd make them whole and a brand new creation in the Lord. Today, Father, as we have an invitation, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about our worship, about our walk with you. Father, if there's something that we need to be changed in our lives, I pray, God, that you would convict us and help us to repent of it today. Lord, we ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand, and I want to be up front. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I encourage you to come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need Jesus. And I'll tell you how to invite him in your heart. Maybe some of you need to make a decision of rededicating your life.